Beloved Bhagwan, on one occasion, Isan, Goho, and Ungan were all standing together in attendance on Hayakujo. Hayakujo said to Isan, "With your mouth and lips closed, how would you say it?" Isan said, "I would ask you to say it." Hayakujo said, "I could say it, but if I did so, I fear I should have no successes." Hayakujo turned to Goho. "With your mouth and lips closed, how would you say it?" he asked his second disciple. Goho said, "Osho, you should shut up." Hayakujo said, "In the distant land where no one stirs, I shall shade my eyes with my hand and watch for you." Then Hayakujo asked Ungan, "With your mouth and lips closed, how would you say it?" Ungan said, "Osho, do you have them or not?" Hayakujo said, "My successors will be missing."
Manisha, this is the last talk on Hayakujo, and the piece that you have chosen is the strangest, a beautiful ending, showing Hayakujo at his peak. On one occasion, Isan, Goho, and Ungan were all standing together in attendance on Hayakujo. These three were the most intimate disciples. One of the three was going to be the successor. So was the rumor in the thousands of disciples. These three were possible successors. And every master before choosing asks a question which is in fact a koan which cannot be answered. Hayakujo said to Isan, this was the evening of his life, time to depart from the world. He was in search now to whom transmit the light that he has carried his whole life. He asks to Isan, "With your mouth and lips closed, how would you say it?" Two things. First, the "it" is the ultimate experience. Zen is very particular There have been gods which are male gods, created by male chauvinists. How can God be a woman? And there have been women goddesses in the primitive tribes, far closer to the idea of Father God than the Mother Goddess, because the mother gives birth to life. God can be conceived as the whole womb of universe. He creates the world. It seems to be more human to conceive God as a woman. But the male chauvinist mind won't allow it. So only in very primitive tribes still there is some fragments of mother goddesses. But all over the world, in the so-called civilized societies, the male chauvinist has replaced mother goddesses and has put father god. To avoid this stupid controversy whether God is a man or a woman, Zen calls the ultimate experience it, neither he nor she. That comes to the very close to the point. How God can be male and how God can be female? It can be only simply a natural life principle which can express in thousands of ways in men, in women, in trees, in mountains. Those are all just his expressions. In reality, hidden behind all these expressions is a pure life principle. It can only be called it. So when Ayakujo asked, with your mouth and lips closed, how would you say it? Those who are not acquainted with the world of Zen will be simply surprised that what you are asking. What is it? In the first place, you are asking an impossible thing. With your mouth and lips closed. And in the second place, you are asking, how would you say it? Two mysteries in one question. Isan said, I would ask you to say it. He challenged his master that it is impossible, but I will give you a chance. If I cannot say it, I want you to say it. With your lips closed, your mouth shut, say it. Hayakujo said, I could say it. But if I did so, I fear I should have no successors. What he is saying that if I have to say it, then you are not capable of my successor. I can say it. Neither the lips are needed, nor the mouth. Just a good hit and you will know it, that I have said it. Ordinarily, Hayakuji was not very much in hitting people. Perhaps this is the first time he is going so far that my hit is going to be so great that perhaps you will fall dead. I won't have any successes. And even if you survive my hit, you would have disqualified yourself. You have not answered. Rather than answering my question, you have questioned me. And this is a test to choose a successor. Hayakujo turned to Goho, with your mouth and lips closed, how would you say it? He asked his second disciple. Goho said, Osho, you should shut up. It is a little better. Then the first answer from Izan, I would ask you to say it. He is simply accepting his defeat, but hiding it in a circular way, rather than saying that I cannot say it. Even if he had remained silent without saying it, that would have been far better, but very stupidly he said, I would ask you. He was not the master and he was not going to choose his successor. Hayakujo was the master, almost on the verge of death. The second disciple, Goho, did a little better. Goho said, Osho. Osho is a very honorable word. There are many respectful words. But the sweetness of Osho, the love, the respect, the gratitude, all are together in it. It is just like Christians using reverend, but that is no comparison to it. Just the very sound of Osho, even if we don't understand Japanese, the very sound is very sweet. He said, Osho, you should shut up. Looks very contradictory. On the one hand, addressing him with the most honorable word in Japanese, and on the other hand telling him, you should set up. But that is how Zen is. It is as sharp as a sword, and it cuts hard and straight to the heart. It is so soft as a lotus leaf. It is both together. It is not right for the disciple to say to the master, you should set up. To avoid the disrespectfulness of his answer, he first addresses the master also. Don't misunderstand me. I have great respect and love for you. But you are asking nonsense. You should set up. At the moment of death, have you gone a little senile? Just set up. Hayakujo said, in the distant land where no one stays, I shall shade my eyes with my hand and watch for you. Beautifully he has rejected. He is not accepted as a successor because he has not answered the question. But yet he has been very careful. Although he has not answered, he has been very loving, honoring, grateful. Out of this gratitude and love, he has earned a special virtue. Hayakuju says, in the distant land, somewhere in the universe, if we meet sometime, where no one stays, where everything is silent, utterly quiet, I shall shade my eyes with my hand and watch for you. He is saying, you can be my companion, but you cannot be my successor. Somewhere far away in the distant future, at some corner of the universe, I will watch for you. You will reach to the goal. Of that I am certain. But saying this, he has rejected him as a successor. His answer was better than Isan's answer. Then Hayakujo asked Ungan, with your mouth and lips closed, how would you say it? Ungan said, Osho, do you have them or not? It is a little more better. With tremendous respect, he says also, what you are asking, you have it already or not? If you have it, then what is the point of asking? And if you don't have it, you will not understand it. But this too is not the answer. Although succeeding answer is better than the other, Hayakuju sadly said, my successors will be missing. I will not have any successor, it seems. You are all well versed. You are all great scholars. You have tremendous love and respect for me, but that is not enough for the successor. What is enough, what is needed, is that the successor should be able to say it, because his whole life will be devoted in teaching people, in provoking people, in challenging people to get it. If he cannot say it, how he can be a successor? A successor has to be a master. You are all mystics, but none of you is capable of being a successor, a master. This will help you to understand. The mystic is one who can experience, but is not articulate enough. That through some gesture, some device, he can manage to convey it to others. Out of 100 mystics, perhaps one is a master. Because the task is immensely difficult. To say it, perhaps, is the most impossible thing in the world. You can go round about, you can bring the person to the experience by creating false devices, but you cannot say it. Those false devices needs a very articulate craftsman, a master who knows that even lies can be used to indicate the truth. Hayakuju said, perhaps I will not have any successors. A little biographical note. All that is known about Hayakuju's last days is that once, when he was getting rather old and feeble, his monks tried to persuade him not to work, but their words had no effect on him. Fearing for his health, they finally resorted to hiding his working tools from him. But Hayakuju refused to eat, following his own precept of a day without work is a day without food. Finally, his monks returned his tools. Hayakuju died in 814 at the age of 90. He did not choose anyone as his successor. He left it to the assembly to find out a successor. So the assembly of the sannyasins nominated a successor. This nomination is just like nominating a pope. He is not authentically a successor. And nobody objects the very idea. How unenlightened people can elect the successor of Jesus Christ, who is the representative of God? 200 cardinals come to the Vatican when one pope dies. There is a special place for those 200 cardinals, small caves in absolute secrecy. Everybody goes into the cave, different caves. Nobody is allowed to talk with each other or confer with each other whom to choose. 24 hours are given and everybody meditates, and I don't know how they meditate because I have not come across any bishop or cardinal. I have met these people. None of them knows how to meditate. What they call meditation is contemplation. They contemplate that who will be the right person out of 200. So they write down the name, and after 24 hours, those names are collected. Whoever is chosen by the majority becomes the pope. All these 200 cardinals, none of them is enlightened. So it is simply a political election. As far as becoming a successor of a master, it cannot be an election. It can only be a transmission of the lamp. Only the master can choose . But it was an strange situation because the master refused to accept the most intimate 3 followers. This shows something special about Zen, that it will not choose anything lesser than the best. I am reminded of another choosing of the successor by Bodhidharma. He had 4 disciples who were very intimate to him, and all other disciples thought it was almost certain that out of these 4, one is going to become the successor. At the time of departure, he was not dying, he was coming back to the Himalayas. He has gone to China because his master, a woman, has told him to take the message to China. So he traveled for 3 years to reach China. He remained there for 14 years. And when he saw that now few people are ripe and ready, and I can choose a successor, and I can move back to the Himalayas. Himalayas have attracted for centuries and centuries the mystical people. There is some quality of mystic atmosphere in the Himalayas. No other mountains have that quality in the world. The height, the eternal snow that has never melted, the silence that has never been broken, paths that have never been trodden. There are some similarities between the Himalayan peaks and the inner consciousness. Bodhidharma said that now I am old enough and sooner or later I will have to die. I don't want to leave my footprints behind me. I want to disappear into the Himalayan snows. Without leaving a trace behind. And it is time that I should move, because it will take years again to reach to the deepest part of the Himalayas. So he collected his disciples, the 4 disciples he called forth. Everybody knew that these 4 are the probable candidates. He asked the first one, "What is the essence of my teaching?" The first man said, and very rightly, that the essence of your teaching is meditation. It is not a question of right and wrong, it is a question of depth and height. The answer is very flat. Your teaching is meditation. Any idiot could have said that. Bodhidharma said to him, your answer to my question is right, but not right enough. You have my skin at the most. Just sit down." To the second he asked, the second says, "Your essence is to achieve Buddhahood. The master said, you are right. Meditation finally leads to Buddhahood. But that can be said even by a school child. Those who have heard me for 14 years can easily say it. You have at the most my bones, just sit down. You have gone a little deeper than the first, so you have my bones. He asked the third one, and he said, your essential teaching is to be silent. Bodhidharma said, it is better than the other two answers. But if my teaching is to be silent, why you have spoken? You are breaking my teaching yourself. You have my marrow. Marrow is the inner side of the bone. But sit down. The fourth came forward with tears in his eyes, bowed down to the master, touched his feet, did not say a single word. And Bodhidharma said, you have my very soul. You are my successor. Your tears have said which others have missed. Your gratitude has said what others have missed. Your silence has said what others have missed. This man was chosen by the master as a successor. This is not an election. This is just finding out how deeper the person has gone, whether he has realized truth or not. Only in Zen that way the successor is chosen. Just in some instances where the master found that nobody is ripe enough, then too it shows such a devotion to truth that he will not choose anybody. Then he will leave it to the assembly. It is better. You all together find out who is going to be the successor. I am not going to commit the mistake of choosing an unenlightened person. You are at least free. You are unenlightened. What else you can do? You can choose an unenlightened person, very scholar, learned, clever, a good speaker, a convincing logician. You can do that, but I cannot do something in my last moments of life. For which I will be forever condemned by the Buddhas. All these popes are elected people. Just by the way, today Prarthana phoned from California. She goes on finding things for me. She was visiting a company which specializes in making bed covers, pillow covers. The manager asked her, "For whom you are ordering these?" And she said, "For Bhagwan." The man said, "It is a strange coincidence that Bhagwan and Pope will not agree on anything, but they both are my customers." He has the best customers around the world. Princess Diana. And he enjoyed himself the idea that I have to tell Prarthana to find somebody else. I cannot sleep on those. Seats on which this idiot pope. There is no agreement between me and him on anything, not even on bed seats. Basu wrote the haiku, "Only the cell of the cicada left. Did it sing itself out of existence? An old cicada tree, almost dead, no foliage left. And Basu is saying only the cell, the inner life has left the tree. Only the cell of the cicada left. Did it sing itself out of existence? Did it went out of existence singing, dancing?" He is indicating to every disciple who is in search of the eternal sources of life that you should go dancing in your death. Only then you can find it. Dancing transforms death into eternal life. Dancing is a very transforming force. It contains your joy, your blissfulness, your peace, your gratitude. Your thankfulness to existence, that it gave you time to blossom, it gave you great foliage, great flowers, and now that it wants you to return to the source, you should not be sad. That is ungratefulness. You should be in a celebrating mood, in a thankful mood for all that the existence has done for you. Go dancing. And in that dancing, death becomes a fiction. That dancing transforms even death into a new life or into eternal life. Manisha has asked, "Beloved Bhagwan, are there any occasions when it is necessary for disciples to protect their master from himself?" Manisha, in fact, every day is the occasion to protect the master from himself, for the simple reason because he has attained whatever was possible to attain in life. Now he is lingering on this shore just for you. For himself, he has come to the dead end of the street. His life is just for those who love him. There is nothing in the world that he longs for. He may suffer old age, he may suffer sicknesses, just for the sake of few who love him, that they should become ripe, that they should come to their ultimate flowering. Every day the disciples have to protect the master against himself. Because every moment the master feels, what is the point? It is good to leave the body now. Just your love prevents him. There is nothing else to prevent him. All threads that were connected with life, all strings that were keeping him attached to the body-mind structure are finished. His empty heart can only listen to your love. And as long as he can manage, because the body goes on becoming faster old than ordinary body, The ordinary body follows a natural pattern. The enlightened man has got outside the natural pattern. He starts dying quickly. Most of the enlightened people have died immediately after their enlightenment. Very rare people have survived enlightenment because it is such a shock. Thousands of worlds that creates a great gap between consciousness and the body, and it becomes absolutely difficult to live for the unenlightened. It was very simple. There was not a problem at all. The body was too much attached with the soul. The enlightened person lives in a cell of a body, unattached. Any moment he can open his wings and say goodbye to you. Your question is significant, Manisha. The Master's whole existence is for those who love. If the people he loves let him down, then there is no need for him to go on unnecessarily suffering. Because now body is a suffering. Now every moment it is a dragging. And it becomes more painful because he is capable of leaving all this suffering immediately. Just close his eyes and go away. The disciple is responsible immensely responsible to protect the master against himself. Manisha's question may have made you sad. I have to change the subject. It is Anando time. Freddy Finistin, a Jew from New York, is tired of all the high fixed prices of clothes in America. A friend tells him that in India, bargaining is a way of life. So Freddy jumps on the next plane. 2 days later, he finds himself walking down MG Road in the pouring rain. His New York sneakers are soaking wet, so Freddy runs into a shoe shop to buy a new pair of shoes. He is eager to try out his bargaining skills, so when Rajiv, the salesman, asks 100 rupees for some shoes, Freddy immediately says 50. That is impossible, replies Rajiv. 50 are nothing, says Freddy, firmly. So Rajiv consults the manager, who consults the owner, and then they come back and say, okay, 50. No, shouts Freddy, 25. Again, Rajiv consults the manager, who asks the owner, okay, 25, says Rajiv. When he returns, a few minutes later, no, 5, shouts Freddy. Listen, snaps Rajiv, getting irritated. You Jew, just take the shoes and get out. No, shouts Freddy. No, asks Rajiv in surprise. You don't want the shoes? No, says Freddy. I want 2 pairs. When a live sex show opens up in a small theater just outside the Vatican, Pope the Pollock is furious. He gets together Cardinal Cat's Ass and a flock of bishops, and they go to watch the show to see if it would be harmful for good Catholics to view it. Coming out of the theater an hour later, Pope the Pollock and his crew all agree that it is a terrible, filthy show and completely unsuitable as entertainment for Catholics. They are marching back to the Vatican when suddenly Pope the Pollock stops in his tracks. I have to go back, he cries. I have forgotten my hat. No, you have not, points out Cardinal Cat's Ass. It is hanging in your lap. Sean O'Reilly is driving his horse and cart into town one morning with a load of potatoes when he has a head-on collision with a truck. Sean makes a claim for damages against the trucking company for injuries to himself, his horse and cart, his dog, and his load of potatoes. The whole claim amounts to a considerable sum of money, but a few weeks later, in the High Court, when Sean is called to the witness stand, his case does not seem to be going too well. Is it true, says Simon Shark Finn, the opposing lawyer, that while you were lying on the ground at the scene of the accident, someone walked up to you and asked you how you were feeling, and you replied, I have never felt better in my life? Yes, replies Sean, I remember that. Good, says Shark Finn. I hope the jury takes note of it. Then Sean's own lawyer comes over to Sean and says, Would you mind telling the court the circumstances you were in when you said, I have never felt better in my life? Certainly, replies son, I was lying there on the ground when a police car drives up and the deputy sheriff gets out. He tells me that my heart is screaming with pain and has two broken legs. He then takes out his gun, points it into the horse's ear and finishes him off. He then tells me that my dog is whining with pain and has a broken back, so he sticks his gun into the dog's ear and finishes him off. Then he turns to me and says, now, how are you feeling? Close your eyes. Feel your body to be completely frozen. Now look inwards with your total consciousness and with an urgency as if this is going to be your last moment. Deeper and deeper at the deepest is your center. This center joins you with the universal life, and this center is called the Buddha, because at this center one becomes so alert, so conscious, so awakened, the Buddha is only a symbolic name. This moment you are all Buddhas. It is up to you to remain 24 hours a Buddha or take here and there few holidays. But once you have known the beauty and the joy and the grandeur and the splendor of being a Buddha, you will not want to go back to the blind valleys in darkness, groping. At this moment, you are the light. To make it more clear, Nivedana, relax. Just be a witness of the body, of the mind, and of everything. This witnessing is the only thing which is eternal in existence. Everything is changing. Just the reflecting witness remains here and now without any change. This is the very center of existence. The evening was beautiful already. But by 10,000 Buddhas witnessing, you have made it the richest evening possible. Remember this silence when you come back. Don't leave it behind. Bring as many flowers and fragrance and juice with you as possible. And take care of noting what is the way you reach to the center. The same is the way you come back to the circumference. You have to become very acquainted with the path. It is a small path. Once you have become acquainted, you can go in any moment. Just as you go in the house and out of the house, without any difficulty. This is your space. This is your home. So blissful is the moment. So many flowers are showering on you. Let your whole life become the light, the awakening, the Buddha. Nivedana. collect as much from your life source and come back slowly, gracefully, and sit down like a Buddha for a few moments, remembering where you have been, remembering the path that you followed in and out, and keep this quiet, this beautiful grace in all your actions and gestures, in your words and in your silences. The Buddha is your empty heart. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Bhagwan.
Can we celebrate the 10,000 Buddhas?
Yes, Bhagwan.